before Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, what I would like to do is to give you a kind of introduction to the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, which is a critically important tefillah. And I think it's important that before you even come to shul on Rosh Hashanah, you take the machzor and go over it. Because it's absolutely astounding and fascinating. And you heard this from me before, so you don't have to, I don't think, you know. It's Malchiyot, Tzuchonot, and Shofar. You just heard this here in different... There'll be a few things that you haven't heard, so you remind me and I'll tell it to you next week. Two good stories for you, I hope. There were two great Jewish theologians, philosophers. Rav Yosef Albo, who was apparently also a great halachist, he was the Rebbe of Duran. 13th, 14th centuries. And he wrote a critical sefer. Do you know what sefer he wrote? Sefer HaYikarim, the book of major Jewish principles, in which he said, unlike the Rambam, there are not 13 major Jewish principles, there are three. And hundreds of years later, in the early 20th century, there was an amazing personality named Franz Rosenzweig. And I urge you to read a book by Nachum Glatzer, G-L-A-T-Z-E-R, called Franz Rosenzweig, His Life and Thought. Both Franz Rosenzweig, as well as Rav Yosef Albo, came to a similar conclusion. Just maybe two more words about Franz Rosenzweig. How many of you have read his book? Do you know what book he wrote? The Star of Redemption. He went to the University of Berlin. Totally assimilated. Thought he would switch to Christianity. But since he believed that Christianity was a more advanced form of Judaism, he thought he'd be best off becoming a Jew first. Or at least learning a little bit more, experiencing a little bit more of his Judaism first. So he went to a shtibl to daven on Yom Kippur. And he had a very deep experience, after which he couldn't begin to think about becoming a Christian. And then he was drafted into the army, the First World War. He wrote letters home about Judaism. He told his parents to save the letters. And on the basis of those letters, he composed the book, The Star of Redemption. Very special personality. And then he joined forces with Martin Buber. And they began to translate books of the Bible. If any of you are familiar with Everett Fox's translations in English, they're very much based upon the Buber Rosenzweig translations in German. They try to capture the onomatopoeia of the Bible, the alliteration of the Bible. And he, together with Buber, started a Lehr House, which was really a kind of adult education center. He once wrote that before he does a mitzvah, he studies the mitzvah. He's never studied a mitzvah, however, that he didn't want to begin to start practicing. The end of his life is tragic, but very inspiring. As a very young man, in his early 30s, he became ill with a disease that was very much akin to ALS, to Lou Gehrig's disease. And he suffered terribly from a whole dissolution of his muscles. At the end of his life, in his mid-30s, it would take 4 hours for him to get dressed in the morning and to eat and to daven. And his wife would come in with a typewriter and go through the alphabet, and with a tremendous amount of effort, he would lift a finger when she came to the letter that he wanted, and in that fashion, he wrote tens of articles and translations. What's fascinating, however, is that with a span of hundreds of years, Rav Yosef Albo, in his Sefer Ikarim, and Franz Rosenzweig, in his Star of Redemption, each come to the conclusion that there are three major principles in Jewish philosophy, and those three are quintessentially described in the three blessings of the Musaf Amida on Rosh Hashanah: Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofar. And so very briefly, I want to discuss this with you. First of all, I want you to understand the form. The form is very important. Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is a very long prayer, but it only has 9 blessings. The first three and the last three, just like the first three and the last three, Avot, Gvurot, Kiddushot, Ritzei, Modim, Sim Shalom, like every day, and every Shabbat, and every Yom. The central three, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, are bound up with the blowing of the Shofar. And I want you to understand that the blowing of the Shofar is fundamentally a halacha in prayer. And that's why, Min HaTorah, the blowing of the Shofar is the Shofar sounds of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. The earlier blowing, after Kriyat HaTorah, is a later addition. And that's why it's forbidden to speak from the time that you make the blessing before the earlier blowing until the conclusion of all the Shofar sounds at the end of the Amida. Because basically the mitzvah in HaTorah to blow the Shofar is on Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. And there are basically three Shofar sounds. Tkia, which is a straight, happy blast. Shvarim Trua, which is a broken, staccato, sad, either sigh or sob. Or sigh, sob again. And then Tkio, which is again an exultant, happy, clear sound. And in effect, Chazal are teaching us, and the Torah is teaching us, that you pray with words and ideas, and you pray with sounds and emotions. And the shofar is the Tkio, happy sound and emotion, and the Trua Shvarim, broken, sad sound and emotion. And I'll explain as I go on more precisely. Now these three central blessings are divided, each blessing is divided into three parts. The first part is a statement of faith, declaration of faith. Each of these three blessings, Malchiyot, Zichronot, Shofrot, is another clear statement, affirmation of one of the principal pegs upon which Judaism stands. It's a crash course in Judaism. If I were thinking of teaching basic Judaism, this is what I would teach. Malchiyot, Zichronot, Shofrot. So first, a declaration of faith. Secondly, a proof that this is indeed a major principle of Jewish teaching. Now, how do I prove that something is a major principle of Jewish teaching? I prove by citing what? Verses, psukim. So that second part is divided also into three psukim from the Torah, three psukim from the book of Psalms that was written by King David according to Jewish tradition, and three psukim from the prophets. And then a tenth pasuk from the Torah. And then comes the third paragraph, the third part. And the third part is always a request of God to put the principle of faith into realized practice. Elokeinu v'elokei avoteinu, if this is what we believe will happen, if this is basic to Judaism, do it now, God. That's the three parts. Now let me define each one. Malchiyot. Can anybody tell me with which prayer Malchiyot begins? A very famous prayer. Pardon? Aleinu and Alkeinu Kavanah. What is the message of Aleinu and Alkeinu Kavanah? The God whom we accept now as our king will ultimately be the king of the entire world. We believe that our vision of God will ultimately be accepted by all of humanity. And that vision of God is ethical monotheism. That vision of God is a God of justice and compassion. That vision of God means that nation will not lift up sword against nation and humanity will not learn war anymore. That's what our goal is. That's what it means to be a Jew. To believe that the God of ethical monotheism, the Hashem Hashem Kerachum V'chal Merechapayim Rav Chesed V'emet, will ultimately be the God of the entire Jew. Aleinu and Alkeinu Kavanah is the rabbinic interpretation of a central pasuk in the Bible. Which central pasuk? Close, but not quite. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem who is now our God, Hashem Echad will one day be accepted as the one God of the entire world. That's Malchiyot. The story is told that Reb Leib Yitzchak of Beditchev once stood before the Amid to begin davening, and you know, Shacharis starts with HaMelech. And he yelled out HaMelech, and then he dissolved into tears. And afterwards his disciples asked him, what caused you to dissolve into tears? He said, I had an image all of a sudden in my head. The image is a Gemara in Gittin that in Vav of Ben. The place Hamikdash was being destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ran out in order to meet Vespasian, the head of the Roman Empire, the head of the Roman host, Roman army. He was going to beg Vespasian to allow the Jews to continue to live, if not in Jerusalem, at least in Yavin. And he stood before Vespasian and he said to Vespasian, King. Vespasian looked at him and said, how dare you call me king? Because first of all, I'm not yet king. But second of all, if you think I'm king, why are you first coming now? And then he took a big picture and said, all of a sudden, I hear God saying, how dare you call me king? I'm not king. Look at all the Jews who don't accept me as king. Look at all the Gentiles who don't accept me as king. But if you do accept me as king, where were you until now? where were you this morning when you should have been saying stichot, or late last night, or early for tefillah? Where were you until? So Malchiot says, first and foremost, that I have to accept God as my king, whatever his ramifications. And I believe that ultimately, God will be accepted as king over the entire world. That's our goal. Zichronot. What's the English translation of Zichronot? Remembrances. Give me another word for remembrances. If I were going to start a university and put in a course of remembrances, what would I name that course? History. Because what Zichronot says is, and listen to me very well, the goal of God being recognized throughout the world will happen in history. History for us is positive. There's a very good little book, it's become a bestseller now, by Thomas Cahill, C-A-H-I-L-L, called The Gift of the Jews, in which Thomas Cahill, an Irishman, comes to the conclusion that the greatest gift of Judaism, and where Judaism differed from the Greeks, is that we do not see time in a kind of myth of Sisyphus way, where everything iterates and reiterates and repeats and goes round and round and round. But we see time, history, as lineal, moving progressively towards a purpose. And nations have a purpose. And we are the nation of God's covenant. We have a purpose. And our purpose is to teach the world about God. Ethical moralism. Our purpose is not only to teach other people. Our purpose is the most exalted purpose imaginable. To teach the world of the importance to perfect the world in the kingship of God. That's Zichronot. History has a purpose. Nations in history have a purpose. Am Yisrael is the nation of the covenant, and every individual within Am Yisrael has a purpose. Can I tell you about the cemetery in Riga? I'm sorry, not the cemetery, but the basement in Riga. Can I tell you about the basement in Riga? When? 2 weeks ago? Yeah, but when? Recently. 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to tell you again. But the fundamental message of Zichronot is that we each have a function. And listen to me very well. I want to tell you about Refusio. He was a very great Rebbe named Refusio. The Jussi of Tanapur was dying. He was crying. The students came to him. The students said, "Rebbe, why are you crying? You're so great. You've accomplished so many things in your lifetime." And the Jussi said, "Very soon I'm going to meet God." And God is going to ask me a question. If God's question is to me, Zussia, why didn't you accomplish what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished? I'll be able to answer very easily. God, you didn't give me the gifts that you gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. If God will ask me, Zussia, why didn't you accomplish what the Rambam accomplished? Very easy. I'll be able to say, God, you didn't give me the powers that you gave to the Rambam. But God won't ask me why I wasn't like Moshe. And God will not ask me why I wasn't like the Rambam. God will say to me, Zussia, why weren't you like Zussia? Why didn't you do what Zussia was able to do? And what only Zussia was uniquely able to do? You know what I think happens to everybody when they die? They sit you down and they show you two videos. One video exactly how you spend every minute of every day of your life in this world. And another video, how you could have spent every minute of every day of your life in this world. And you judge by the difference between both of those videos. Ata zocher ma'aseh olam yisein zichronot. You, God, remember the actions from earliest time. Ufokeid, and you give a function to every human being. You know what tshuva is during this period? You should be thinking about during this period. What's my function? If I'm a member of the Jewish people, and we're the people of the covenant, and we have a goal, and that goal is to somehow bring the notion of ethical monotheism to more people. How can I fulfill that function best, given what God has given to me? Now, I know I can't be a chassid. I'd love to be a chassid. I know I can't be a chassid. I can't carry a tomb. So I have to zero in on what I could do. And everybody can do something which is unique. Tshuva, during this time of the year, is everybody looking deeply into himself and thinking, God gives me one chance. How am I going to get it? What am I going to live my life for? How am I going to make sure that I utilize this chance as best as I can? And if you're not driven by this question, you don't understand what this period is all about. That's a chrom. And what's shofrom? Good. The goal is ethical monotheism throughout the world. It'll happen in history. Every nation has a function. The Jewish people have the covenant, and every individual Jew has to see what he can do to be himself, to use his God-given gifts to bring that about. But is there a general prescription? And Shofrot says is a general prescription. Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Shofrot. Atani gleita banan kvodecha. God revealed the way to make society more perfect. That's Torah on the books. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Kashrus, and Tefillah, and Taras HaMishpocha, and Choshen Mishpat, and business. And with the sound of a shofar, God will bring the Jews back to Israel, because Israel is the laboratory in which we can control society. And our job in Israel, our goal in Israel, is to demonstrate how to perfect society within a nation state that every other nation state can learn from. That's shofarot. So that's malchiyot, the goal, to make the world accept ethical monotheism. In historical times, zichronot, with us as the nation of the covenant and each individual having a goal and a function and a task to perform. And it will be done through Torah in Eretz Yisrael. The shofar is out. After Malchiyot, first the Tekiyah, a very happy sound. It's great to know that there's a king and a goal. The scariest thing in the world is to think, like Macbeth said, that life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That this is an accident, a cosmic joke. That's the scariest thing in the world. And to hear that there's a king, and there's a goal, and there's a purpose, that fills me with great joy. Tia, doom. But if there's a king, he also makes demands. And I don't always live up to those demands. And therefore I sob and I cry. But Rosh Hashanah holds out the promise of tshuva, and I could become better, and I can change, and I can improve. And that's the final tekiyah of hope and faith and joy. It'll happen in historical time. And I'm a member of the nation of the covenant. And I have a purpose. That too fills me with great joy. That's the hero. I don't always act like I have a purpose. I sometimes act like all I want to do is have a good time and sleep late. And that makes me cry. And that's the Shvarim Kruha. And I know I can get better. God gave me a prescription, and that's Torah. And he gave me a laboratory to perfect society, and that's Israel. But I don't always keep Torah. And even though I come to Israel to study Torah for a year, I'm not sure I'm going to stay. Can you imagine that even some people in Yeshiva HaMitzvah could have tickets to go back? Places like London, Rachman HaMitzvah, or Manhattan, God. That makes me cry. But I could change and improve, and that's the final idea. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's Malchiyot, Tzichlorot, and Shofarot together with Tziyat Shofar. It's what it means to be a Jew. If you don't take it seriously, you don't know what Judaism is all about. And I want to conclude, I want to tell you something. I heard this from Rav Lynch, founder of Boy Scout. When I was 12 years old, graduating Yeshiva Katana, I never forgot. He looked at us and he said, "You know, guys, life is like a postcard. You look at a postcard, and you think it's a big card. You don't have much to say. So you write big letters, and you leave a lot of space between the lines. And as you continue to write, you realize the postcard is much smaller than you thought it was, and you have more to say than you thought you had to say. And you start squishing together the lines and the words, and sometimes you come to the end of the card, and the most important thing you had to say, you never said. Sometimes you don't even leave room to sign your name." Rosh Hashanah reminds us that there's not all that much time. There's a lot to do, and there's not that much time to do it. And if you're serious about life and God only gives you one chance, you got to take full advantage of it. Think about Rosh Hashanah hard. Think about what your function should be and could be. Listen to the wake-up call of the shofar. Have a very good, creative, and successful, and healthy year. Shana Tova.